It was recently announced that Gob B has returned to playing mouse sports, and he signed a full-time contract, and apparently he's going to kind of go all in and try to become a top-level player again in Counter-Strike, and he has an extensive history that goes back into 1.6. This guy is he's actually of Turkish descent, but he's lived in Germany for a number of years. He speaks fluent German. His history is all in German teams around that time. And so who was he as a 1.6 player? So we can get a sense of who he is as a CSGO player, maybe what his potential is or some of the upside of if he can get back to the level of where he was. So you have to go way back in time for Gob B, because actually the first place he really broke free and was known outside of just the little German community of teams was in 2007. He attended ESWC with this team called ID Gaming. And crucially, he personally had like a really good individual performance, like a surprising one. People weren't expecting anything from this team, and he was quite good. And so as a result, right after that tournament, Mouse Sports, who had always been the best German team, like historically at least, like they were like the premier name in German esports, their team had played really badly. Actually, they finished like outside of the top 16 at that one, which was a huge shock. And so they'd removed a couple of players, and they brought in Gob B, and they brought in Six as well. Six was kind of like a rising star type player. In terms of his 1.6 career as a whole, it's good in some senses, but it's not quite on the level of like some of the Na'Vi players and some of the Poles, like Neo and Taz and all the Fnatic guys you think of, and even some of the SK players. But it's a pretty solid set of accomplishments, actually. He won 6 straight EPS titles. He won a major. He won IEM2. He won 2 medium-sized events that were really stacked events. Like, they're on the level of a major in terms of the talent level. It's just that they weren't considered a major. So he won IEM3 Dubai, and he won IEM4 European Championship. That's a very solid He's winning domestically, he's winning internationally. He's matching up against 2 of the best teams ever, MTW in 2008, Na'Vi in 2010. Like, you can see there's something to his career. So he has some sort of talismanic effect on his teams, like, beyond just being a good player. So in CSGO, there wasn't much of Gob B. Like, I don't think he was ever fully into it from the beginning. In 2013, he managed to win EPS with Mouse Sports again. He finished 2nd in EPS in 2014 with Mouse Sports. He was in the alternate team that went to DreamHack Stockholm in like September of this year. He finished, they were in like last place in the group there, so that's pretty much irrelevant, that one. He went to the ESEA Season 17 LAN not very long ago. It was replacing Alu in Mouse Sports, and they finished last place there, so nothing really particularly good there. And then they recently went to that Acer A Split Invitational thing where he finished 4th in Mouse Sports, so nothing really of note to talk about there in CSGO. Hasn't really been any sort of a factor, so I have to say, I'm not entirely sold that he's going to become some great player, etc. again, but crucially to me is if he can play a role in terms of actually being the in-game leader, setting up the structure and finding a way to play and adapt to opponents, I think that much is possible. I don't think he's going to be a great individual player, which is kind of what I'm going to get to now, talk about him as a player. So crucially, there were 2 factors to Gob B that you have to separate, and yet they're connected, so you have to talk about them at the same time, which was that, yes, he's one of the best in-game leaders of all time in 1.6, but he's also one of the best German players just as an individual player. And yet at the same time, he was doing both. That's the key thing to point out. This guy was the in-game leader. And you know that whole thing about how, like, well, the in-game leader is never going to top frag, and he's usually going to have the least frags, and he's not going to have the most game impact. No, Gob B used to some games be the star of the whole team while in-game leading and doing it within the framework of what he wanted to do as an in-game leader. So I'll start out with one that's probably going to surprise you, which is Gob B. So Gob B, one of the best 1.6 in-game leaders ever, a truly great in-game leader. In CSGO, he was even very good. I don't think he's quite at the same level. But then again, it's a different game. I also didn't think it plays to his strengths of tactics as much as 1.6. Now, what a lot of people might not know is Carrigan was under Gob B in late 2014 when he was in Mouse Sports. And obviously the next year is when Carrigan embraced fully being an in-game leader, became the in-game leader of Dignitas, later TSM, later Astralis. And he's become one of the great in-game leaders himself, arguably surpassed his mentor, although he hasn't won a major yet like Gob B did in 1.6. So some of Carrigan's success, you can even probably talk to the guy, he'll tell you that Gob B was a brilliant guy. Some of it perhaps comes from being around Gob B, seeing how Gob B calls, Gob B's calls. He even actually, considering he was a tactical in-game leader and he had great utility usage, he even had pretty good mid-round calls as well, which is obviously one of the specialties of Carrigan, right? I don't know how much CSGO you watch, but in CSGO, Gob B actually unfortunately had really bad stats in the game. He was basically, it's like he was almost just a brain at this point in time. He had amazing strats, he was doing some crazy shit. But I even know, by the way, it's just like his skills had
gone. Because like famously, some friends of mine, for example, went and visited when he was in certain teams, and he was still practicing loads. He was deathmatching all day long, but for some reason, it's like aiming wasn't very good. You know, it's basically his skills had degraded. The reason I set this up like this is because modern day CS fans only know that Gobby. They think he's just a guy with tactics. I want to ask you this. Who was Gobby in CS 1.6? I always tell people, mate, he was doing tactics, but like you could have just watched the POV demo. He had some amazing games, right?
I think Gobby was a revolution for, I think, the whole CS scene, because he brought so much stuff like on a new level. Like he was skill-wise a very, very good player. He wasn't probably on the level of a 6 or some other like really formed skill, but still like he was getting his kills, also winning a lot of rounds with his skill. But what made him the very, very outstanding player was his he knew all details of the game. He was telling like every single player how we should run. Like we were practicing some Dust2 moves where I really knew like in which direction I should look when I'm there. Like 20 centimeters later, I need to watch like there, because then they are coming the flashes from long, and then they are coming from CT base. So he really like he knew all of the details. He knew all how to react specific game strides. Like I think that was, I thought like I did a lot of tactic stuff, but then I played together with him, like also as a stand-in for Mousebot. That was like a complete new experience. He also like his flashes, like his smokes. Like I think there was no guy like him during that period, investing so much time in trying things out, like being alone on the server, trying smokes, trying flashes, and that was really like a revolution for the not CSGO, CS 1.6 scene.
The good thing about being in a team at Mousebots, like I say, is if it ever goes bad, they're going to get the good players in eventually. You're just going to keep changing players till eventually you get enough good ones and the team gets good again. So one of the key moves, even though it took a while to really kick in, was obviously, and people are going to know this part of the story, Gobby and Six came over from a smaller team. So what was the significance of these guys joining? Because I remember, for off the top of my head, I think it was something like they went with like a young German team to like ESWC or something. They didn't even go that far, but they just like both were playing really sick, and everyone was like, they were like buzzing about this squad. Like, oh, these guys are really good. So they came into your team. Like, who were these guys when you first met them?
A friend of mine introduced me to Gob like 1 year ago, before that. And I was like, yeah, he has big ping, he's from Frankfurt. Let's see. I did not believe the hype. He played a good season, and the most important part, we decided to part ways with Silver and with Blizzard at the ESWC 2007.
Yeah.
And Gob was there, and he was playing with ID Gaming as a stand-in, and he was just fucking playing good. And what impressed me so much was he had the fucking energy to stand up, to motivate his guys, to be loud. He was not afraid. It was one of the biggest events for him. It was the biggest event from him, and he was owning it. He was just owning it, and I was like, okay, this guy wants to win. This guy is a true competitor. He is not holding back. Let's go. And it was very, very important that Gob demanded Tony to come to us as well. He was very firm on that, and I was like, yeah, okay, I don't care. We are like here. I don't care anymore. If he trusts him, let's do it. It needed a little bit of time, because Gob is a loyal guy, and he was playing with his boys from Frankfurt, and we talked a little bit, and I was like, and he did not want to disappoint his friends and stuff, and I was like, bro, this can be your career. You have to think just about you, nothing else. And if you join us, will it help your career? Will it help your goals to be a pro player or not? And he was like, yes, of course. And I was like, you are playing with me. You're not with this. You are learning from me, my man. In the end, he joined, and it was very good that he demanded 6-6 to come as well, who, in my eyes, the best German player ever. And it was like, yeah, I did not believe in him or something. I played a little bit against him. He was very, very, he had a big mouth.
Trash talker. And okay.
Again, it was a little bit of destiny, I think, that, I tried to do something big. I failed. And then I had to look in the mirror and think about my mistakes and looking for answers, and a beautiful Gob arrived, and I took him.
Always tell people who are CSGO fans, because in CSGO, like, Gobby's a legend for what he did in Big and these teams, you know, but it's only for his brain in CSGO. Like, people think, you know, he's the Godfather and all those memes, you know, but I always think it's actually sad because people who are CSGO fans will never know how good Gobby was, because they only know when he was a brain at the end of his career. But I always tell people in 1.6, he was the brain, and then he also had fucking really good skills. Like, he could top frag the server against top teams, right?
His AK was ridiculous. He was really shooting one shot, not two, not three, just one shot. And I was like, boy, this is a flawed technique. You can't just press one shot, come on. And it worked. It fucking worked. This was his style. He was destroying people. Gob is a fucking great player because he sacrificed a little bit of his own game because he understood that leading the team, making good decisions will help us more than just fragging, and he took away responsibility from other people so they can focus more on their play. And even in CSGO, I think he should he had it all. He had nice aim. His brain was nice. It's all good.
I have a weird trivia question right towards the end here that I want to wait till the end. Also, I didn't want to waste all the other ones. I wanted to get all the proper questions in. So it's a weird one, right? Because he can only be me and know this, right? Because I have an amazing memory for things I hear along the years. And especially, here's a little tip for all you pros out there. You won't listen, so it doesn't matter. You know, when we're all in those bars at the after parties and everyone's just kicking back and chilling. And normally I don't want to talk Counter-Strike that much, but if it's the right person and that's the only scenario they'll open up, you know, you talk about a few things. Even then, I'm always like, my brain always recorded, like, store that for later. That's a really good piece of info. And I just wait for the right time. So what I heard from years ago is Gob B, who used to be your IGL way back in the day, before you were an in-game leader, I noticed that I heard this story from him, and they do this to this, well, when he was still IGL, they did this to this day in Big, which is, you're going to know what I'm talking about, but no one else is, which is when they throw a flashbang, they don't just throw a flashbang and know, right, you know, it's going to be like 2.5. They say, boom, as the flashbang explodes. And they do it for their teammates. Because what they want is they want the guy that, like, you're flashing in to know, like, when I say boom, that's when you turn, or that's when you, like, take the peak, right? And what I've noticed with your comms videos is Carrigan still does this. He's the only one in FaZe that does, by the way. The rest of them just ignore this for some reason. I think it's fire, by the way. I think if Gobby really came up with this, he's a genius. But, like, I notice you still do it. I notice it's still part of your game. You still do the boom.
Yeah, I think it's important, especially because I love when I'm an entry, because sometimes the enemy throws a flash and you don't know, because sometimes people are saying they're flashing, but when they're saying that, they didn't release mouse yes. 1 yet. And in my mind, the timing is off, you know? So I'm just trying to make sure that you understand that my flash, boom, now it's like, it's go time, you know? And if there comes two, I always stay on the second one, not first. Like, so I just think it's a good comms, especially in execute where it can get hectic as you execute. Somebody is getting peaked from whatever angle there is on the map, you know, and then you didn't hear that I said flash, but then you hit boom and then like, okay, he flashed already. So I think it's good to have that. But I'm always trying the specific strats where I am telling the guy he needs to say boom. Hopefully he notes it down, you know, because that's the flash I need to know. That one has to be exploded before I go. The other ones can be in the back or in front of me. I know how my run path will be, but that flash, I need to go on the pop timing before they got unblinded, for example.
You say you actually did play in mouse spots when it was still, in theory, a German team briefly. Now, I know that Carrigan was there too, but as far as I know, Carrigan already speaks German, right? Did you speak German? Were you communicating in English? What was the situation there?
I was tough. It was very tough, I think. And also because you had Fatih, you know, got beat. He was not like Aif.
It's pretty harsh, put it that way. I've heard, like, he's the guy where if you fuck up a smoke, he goes mad, right?
Yes, he was crazy in a good way. I mean, I think a lot of the players who have played under him have enjoyed having him as a coach, and also the IGL. I know Carrigan really was a big fan of him because he's a hard in-game leader, but he was also very fair and was really good at also rewarding his players for all the good things. But he would definitely let you know if you did something bad, where Aif would take his time, right, put it in, and maybe, you know, take your side or spend 5 minutes explaining why before he actually came to the point saying that you missed your smoke outside on you or whatever it is.
Now, you know you never catch me Dolo online because I'm rolling deep and we dem boys. Who am I talking about? The Skrilluminati. So this video and the content on my channel is kindly supported by Matt Pugnaccio Rakula, Toucan, Jensen Gore, Nikki, Jason. You know who my second in command is. Jerky's Minion. Do you want to suggest a topic or a guest for some of my content? Would you like to ask me a question in an AMA? Do you want to take part in one of those lengthy discussions where you get to set the topic? Maybe you want to see who upcoming guests are in my interviews and on my talk shows. Well, all of these perks and more are available to you if you put your money where your mouth is and join the Skrilluminati today. How? Via the Patreon link in the description box below.